This is a sermon given at St. David's Episcopal Church in Austin, Texas. Visit our website at saintdave.org.
We have a traveling art box in our family. It started when our sons, who are just 1 year apart, were very, very young, and we would go on vacation, and we pack up a little art box, and we would take it with us. So on a rainy afternoon or a blazing hot afternoon, we could get it out and we could paint and draw what we saw. So whether it would be mountains or rivers or the sea or a lake, it was just a great little activity. And then when our middle son, Colton, began to show some promise as an actual artist, we were doubled down on this, and we have carried it with us on vacation ever since. And as he got older, when he would be in junior high and high school, he would actually coach the rest of us to try to make our art a little better. His was always frameable, and then there was mine, which was, and he was always kind about it and encouraging. And even so, like when he became an art major in college and he was home for college on a break, and for one of our anniversaries, we decided to have one of those paint and wine parties, except we were going to do it ourselves, right? And so Colton was our teacher. And we had sat on the back porch, and he painted a painting that we were to copy. It was a painting, you know, a good Texas scene. It had a fence post and some barbed wire, some boots, a hat on the post, and some blue bonnets. It was nice. And we all set about trying to copy what Colton had painted. And it was clearly boots. That was the best we could say, right? It was clearly a Texas scene, but his was, of course, much better. And this continues to this day. On vacation this summer, the whole family came, including some friends. And one night at the beach, we pulled out the art box, and we all decided to paint what we had seen that was beautiful that day. We wanted to sketch it out, you know, sketch out the gulls on some posts, or the little sandpipers running along the beach, or a hawk on a fence. And then Colton, of course, painted three gulls in flight that was worthy to be framed in my house. But the rest of us just doing our best to sort of sketch it out in our head, this beautiful thing, and try to get it down on paper. I think about this art box because of the letter to the Hebrews. We have been working through the letter to the Hebrews for a month now. This is the last Sunday we'll hear a lesson from this letter. None of the preachers have treated it. We have been instead focused on the prophets who have been punching us in the nose, and we have been focused on the teachings of Jesus, trying to soften our hearts to be kingdom citizens. So we've kind of blown past Hebrews. So I think it would be sad for us to miss the whole letter. And so I think it's a good thing for us to take it out and invite you to actually take it out. There's a Bible in the pew in front of you if you would like to turn to the letter to the Hebrews. The version of the Bible that's in front of you is paginated Old and New Testament. So it's in the New Testament, very back of the book, but it's on page 218 is where it starts. So I invite you, while I'm talking, if you would like, simply to just go ahead and look through it and think it through. And if not, I'd invite you to study it this week. It's only 13 chapters, so it's not a long book, but I do suggest a study guide. I do suggest you find a quick outline of this, because what's really necessary to understand this letter is a pretty clear understanding of how the blood sacrificial system of the Hebrew people worked at the time this letter was written. So you need to understand how the Holy of Holies is laid out, how the temple is laid out, how the sacred sacrifice happens, and the role of the priest in that sacred sacrifice, for you to understand what the writer of this letter is talking about. So get a study guide that'll help you with that. And then dust off your high school philosophy book and remember what you know about Plato, because this is a very Platonic book. You'll see a whole lot of Plato reflected in what the writer to the Hebrews is saying. So it starts out with the writer describing the sacrificial system in detail, and saying that this is the purpose of the sacrificial system was to deal with the impact that sin has in the world and the impact that sin has on our relationship with God. That sin has basically jammed up the flow between the heart of God and the world. The heart of God that is full of love and life and beauty and mercy is kind of jammed up because of sin. And so this sacrificial system was put in place to clear the path and to again open the flow between God and humanity. And there was a priest who was set aside to do that. And it was very detailed. They would sacrifice for their own sin, and then they would sacrifice for the sins of the people. And so once the reader has a clear image of this in their mind, he asks us to think about the work that Jesus did in the world. And he begins to think about the work of Jesus as the ultimate work of that priest who is standing in the way. It's standing to clear the path to allow the love and mercy and grace of God to flow into humanity again. And so he talks about Jesus as the perfect priest, whereas the human priest had to do it year after year after year, had to sacrifice for his own sin, and then the rest of the people's sin. Jesus is the ultimate sacrificial offering, says this writer, and that no longer is necessary. And instead, the way is clear. The way is now clear through the life, death, teaching, death, and resurrection of Jesus. The path is now open to the heart of God. And the reason I think about my art box is because twice in this book, in both the chapter 8 and chapter 9, when he's describing the temple, he says that it is a reflection. This is where your Plato comes in, right? It is a reflection of what's true. That the earthly temple was a copy of the temple that is in the presence of God. It is a human copy of what is real to God. And so it's a shadow, if you will, to use the Platonic language, of the real thing that is happening. And the reason I think about my art box is when I read it this week, I read a translation that said sketches, that the temple was a sketch of the true temple. These imperfect sketches, this sort of squiggly art that's trying to capture the reality of the beauty of what's real and true. And so he then talks about the role that Jesus plays as the ultimate artist. That now we have a true version of what God is like. And that faith in Jesus is an invitation to step into that open flow of love and mercy and grace that now exists between God and humanity. And then the writer invites them to continue to believe this is true, even in a world that doesn't look like that. Because by the time this letter was written, the Christian church was being deeply persecuted, and they were being killed for their faith. And yet still, this author says, still, as violent as this world is, it's not what it's like in God. In God, it's beauty and love and wholeness. And then invites the reader to courage, to faith. He lists off all the champions of the faith in the past who have stayed true to this, even though they couldn't see it. They just believed it was true. And they believed it was true, and they stood with it, and they continued to believe it's true until God finally completes God's work in the world and everyone can see it. And then begins to invite us to sketch ourselves. It's not that word here, but if you listen to the passage that we just heard read so beautifully by Chaz, chapter 13 begins to draw a picture for us of what being in that flow looks like. Just simply as this, let love, mutual love, continue. Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for by doing so you've entertained angels unaware. Respect the marriage bed. On and on the list goes of these kind, beautiful expressions of the reality. And then sketch it out and make the world you live in look like what we believe is true about God. So I think the invitation for us today is to do the very same thing, to get out our art box, right? Get out our spiritual art box and say, what do I believe? What have I experienced about God? I've experienced God as magnificent and omnipotent and undescribable. How do I sketch that out? I've experienced God as pure love, as pure welcome. I've experienced God as home. How do I begin to sketch that out? And then what does the world start looking like if we sketch the world that way? But then we also look around the world that we're in and we see that it doesn't all look like this, for goodness sakes, and we begin to get our eraser out, right? We're invited to start getting rid of some things. I mean, do you believe then in God's perfect world, that when school children fall into church to pray, that they are shot down? No. So let's erase that. Let's sketch that out. Let's create a world where this doesn't happen, because it doesn't happen in the kingdom of God. Do you believe that in the kingdom of God there are groups of people vying for power and control and money and land, pushing people out of their homes just so they can have a little more land, a little more sense of safety? Do you believe that is the way the kingdom looks? No. Sketch it out. Sketch it out. Replace it with love and forgiveness and mercy and generosity and humility, for goodness sakes. Do you believe that in the kingdom of God that people leave their war-torn countries and walk hundreds of miles just trying to find safe harbor and are turned away? So sketch a world where they're not turned away. And do you believe that when people are in safe harbor and have been for decades of their lives and are living their lives just like everyone else in this place, just trying to make a living, trying to love their families, that they are swept away at night and taken away and no one knows where they are, simply because of the color of their skin? So let's sketch a world where that doesn't happen. Do you believe that in the kingdom of God, it's pure love? Yes. So what are the colors of pure love? Do you believe in the kingdom of God that it's grace and mercy and welcome? Yes. Well, then what's the topography of grace and mercy and welcome? What does it look like? Sketch it out. Sketch it out. Join with the Holy Spirit as we sketch out in this world what God's true world looks like. In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
You can find more lectures and sermons on iTunes by searching for St. David's Episcopal Church in Austin, Texas, or visit our website at saintdave.org and click on the podcast button.